Welcome to Fourth Stream Radio, where we consider concepts to help on your quest to a satisfied mind. Today, Dave and I are talking about praying for rain or praying for an awakening in our city. And also, if you'd like to contact us, email us at 4@fourthstream.com. Use the number 4@fourthstream.com.
You know, I've been working in God's kingdom for a long time. And at some point, a number of years ago, I've always considered prayer as important. But I started thinking about the fact that you know, God is the one that awakened my heart, mm-hmm. and the people that I know that tell me about what happened between them and God, you know, it was God intervening. So the idea of a supernatural awakening or intervention is you know, kind of captured my imagination over the last few years. And I've read some books on the great awakenings that have happened in history. And the ones that were the most powerful, you don't tie them into a man or a woman or a particular person. It's just that God blew through mm-hmm. with his Holy Spirit.
And people were responsive, but they did not necessarily initiate it. Ephesians 5:1-21, I'm really going to condense this instead of talking about, you know, reading the whole thing. But this is the passage where Paul reminds us how extravagantly God loves us and that he didn't love us to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. So that's how we're supposed to love.
Kind of the opposite of how humans love.
It is. And it's also the passage where it says, don't hang around with religious people, you know, people who love their religion or their church duties more than God and his people. I love how the message says, don't live carelessly or unthinkingly, and not. It's the passage where it encourages us not to drink too much, but instead it says to drink the Spirit of God, huge drafts of him. Mm-hmm. Isn't that great?
Well, you know, our personal spiritual life, and that's what you're talking about, is an mm-hmm. awakening of our personal spiritual life, is I've had a lot of people look at me and say, well, that's kind of a personal area of my life. And I go, that's good. It should be a very personal area. Mm-hmm. But what's happening in that personal area? Because it's good for the mouth to talk about the things that are happening in the heart, mm-hmm. because there's a connection between the two. I heard a quote once, what's in the well of the heart comes out the bucket of the mouth.
That's a good one.
You know, it's a great thing to have something in your heart, but if it doesn't come out, then how can it be shared and how can it be consolidated and solidified even in your own heart? So yeah, it's a personal thing, but it's also a communal thing as well.
Absolutely. It is a personal thing, but then we also have to take it upon ourselves that we're supposed to be encouraging one another daily as the day approaches. And so if we don't speak it, at least some of the time, then we're kind of missing out on what we get to do as far as encouraging other people.
Awake, sleeper, rise from the dead. Christ will shine on you. I just love this particular chapter because, you know, that is really what spiritual life is all about. It's kind of a awakening to what God is doing rather than trying to accomplish what God is doing. It's more a recognition mm-hmm. and an awakening to it.
Yeah, and it seems that we have to bring a heart of action and prayer to it, and we pray that God awakens people. And I'm just going to read a few more of those verses that you said. Stay wide awake in prayer. Most of all, love each other as if your life depended on it. Love makes up for practically anything. So be quick to give a meal to the hungry and a bed to the homeless and do it cheerfully. And be generous with the different things God gave you, passing them around so everybody gets in on it. If it's words, let it be God's words. And if help, let it be God's hearty help. That way, God's bright presence will be evident in everything through Jesus, and he'll get all the credit as the one mighty in everything. Encores to the end of time.
That's pretty cool.
1 Peter 4:7-11.
Yeah, that's neat. Well, you know, the awakening in our spiritual life, and my response to God is, God, Lord of my life, awaken my sleeping soul. That relates to people, and that's mm-hmm. what that passage that you just read is all about, an awakening in my personal sphere of relationships, because mm-hmm. I want God's life to be inside of me, but not just for me. I want it to be inside of other people's lives because of me, and then what's inside of them to come alive because we are celebrating God together. And that's why Jesus said, it wasn't just like a saying, wherever two or more are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. That means that God's life is being unleashed mm-hmm. in the world around those people as they gather together.
Yeah, it's not just a nice saying. He means it. I'm in the middle of that.
Did you read that whole passage in Peter?
I think so.
Yeah, that's that. You're reading from a different version than I normally do, and I was so caught up into it. But there are so many great word pictures there that are describing what alive relationships look like, and that's one of the things I pray for our city all the time, mm-hmm. and for our friends all the time, is that they would experience alive relationships, yeah. spiritually alive relationships that are animated by the presence of God, because the presence of God can do things that the presence of human beings can mm-hmm. only kind of get going. God mm-hmm. has to make them come alive.
This is just an aside, but you know, when we're doing this, I always read out of the Message, and I do it for that very reason of what you said. Was like, was that whole passage? Because I think studying is one thing. You need a certain kind of Bible.
New American Standard.
But I think sometimes to read out of the Message, you know, you can read something that you've read often, and sometimes you lose a little bit. And this just gives you word pictures and makes you think about it differently. And then when you go back to your normal version, it kind of adds something.
Well, you know, the Bible is written in one word picture after another. So mm-hmm. whatever translation you're reading, they're relying on the original languages for those pictures. Now, to make them as accurate as we possibly can is important, but that also relates to the age that you live in. And mm-hmm. so, you know, I like the mixture of the two. It works really well for me. Third area when it comes to awakening, we've talked about awakening in our spiritual life, awakening in our personal sphere of relationships. And again, we're advocating praying about this, an awakening of kingdom teaching in our city.
What do you mean by that? Because I think a lot of us attend churches, we listen, we're participants. What do you mean different than what most of us are experiencing?
Well,
different. Just tell me, explain what you mean.
It was breathtaking to me as I was going through the Gospels once, and I realized that Jesus only used the word church four times. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm really committed to the church. I've served the church for a long time with mm-hmm. my gifts and with my heart and with my vocation. But when that struck me, I thought, why is that? Because, you know, the church is mentioned a lot in the scriptures, but Jesus didn't mention it. So I thought, well, what did he talk about? Well, he talked about the kingdom. Well, through a period of time, and I don't have a lot of time to explain it here, but I realized that it was king first, because once the king came, then kingdom became the issue. What is his kingdom? Because I'm a part of his kingdom. And that's why he brought me out of darkness into his marvelous light. And then the church becomes an expression of the fact that the kingdom is alive in me and in people around me. So when I say an awakening of kingdom teaching, it's an understanding of the power of God goes back to the root of our response to God's kingship. And that really is what empowers the gospel and certainly empowers the church, because the church is not powerful just in name only. It's powerful if it's connected to its king.
Okay, so part of what you're saying is to be careful, I think, is to be careful to find our identity in the king and find our place in the kingdom versus just being busy in our local area.
Well, yeah, especially considering that when it comes to...
Or I mean finding our identity.
Right, because when the Bible really, if you get to the... It's not the church on the corner that the Bible's talking about. It's you being a part of the body of Christ with your gifts. You're one of the members and you're responsive to the head, who is the king. Okay. So that totally fits to me what Jesus was explaining. And so when I pray for our city, I pray for kingdom teaching, you know, wherever that would be, whatever the environment would be. And I'm not just talking about in churches, although churches have a lot of opportunity to impact that. Just that that Christ's servants around our city would be speaking about king and kingdom, so that people can enjoy the benefits of being a part of the called out assembly, which is the church of the living God.
Right, and encouraging people to meet the king and not just to come and meet with us.
That leads to the next thing. When you're thinking about a city, your city, our city, an awakening of harvest prayer. And I think, do you have a passage about that?
I do.
There are a number of them, but I love this one.
I know. Matthew 9:37, it says, "Then Jesus made a circuit of all the towns and villages. He taught in their meeting places. He reported kingdom news. He healed their diseased bodies. He healed their bruised and hurt lives. And when he looked out over the crowds, his heart broke. So confused and aimless they were, like sheep with no shepherd. And I think it's easy in that passage to always notice the healing of the bodies because that's so dramatic.
Oh, yes.
But I love that he healed their bruised and hurt lives because I think of myself and the people around us that have really have suffered at the hands of other people or just life in general, just life. And I just love that he can heal us physically, but he can just come in and fix our hurting lives.
Well, and as that process happens and we turn our eyes toward Jesus, we become workers for the harvest. And it's not just enough to become a placeholder. You know, we were called and we're meant to be everything that God wants us to be in the context where he's placed us. And that's what a harvest worker truly is. It's not just, you know, filling in a job in a church per se. That may be part of it, but it's really finding your place in the world, particularly as it relates to those relationships.
Yeah, you use the word placeholder. I tend to use the word spectator.
Right.
We watch as everything's going on, hoping some of it hits us.
Well, that leads to the next part of praying for an awakening in our city, an awakening of life-death relationships, because, you know, it's easy to be lulled into complacency, you know, kind of like we started out with today, arise, sleeper, awake, you know, arise from the dead and Christ will shine on you. And it's really, we experience a sleepy dream as human beings. And so to pray that God would awaken the whole, not so much cause problems for people, but life and death would become apparent to people. Whether you're sitting there and thinking, you know, oh my goodness, I'm going to end up like Ed at the office that just happened this week or whatever, you kind of are taking stock. So to pray that that would happen and that people would pay attention to the voice of the Spirit saying, hey, you ought to be thinking about this.
Yeah, you are talking about Matthew 28:18, and it's called the Great Commission. And, you know, praying for the people with whom we're supposed to rub shoulders or just run into, that their hearts would be ready and that ours would be too. Ultimately, praying for an awakening is pretty encompassing because we're not just praying for other people. We have to get ourselves sort of in tune and follow God's prompting. It's interesting as we have decided to talk about this, how encompassing the whole topic is.
Yes, it's encompassing. And the neat thing is when you're having this conversation about awakening with other people, it's also energizing because you're talking about something that you can't do. Mm-hmm. All you can do is your part, but you can pray and ask for God to awaken sleeping souls. Well, if you get to be a part of a community that does that, whether that's one friend or five friends or 500 friends, whatever it might be. I mean, if I could have my dream, it would be that our entire church in our city would awaken at the same time and pray for an awakening, and that the Spirit would just pour out.
It happen.
But, you know, I've come to realize that that will never be organized. I've watched that in my lifetime. It's not something that any man or any woman is going to organize. It's going to have to be something that God brings about. Mm-hmm. And if you're in that part and experiencing that kind of community, it's just a wonderfully energizing thing.
Uh-huh. It's true.
Awakening of sleeping souls. Lord of my life, awaken my sleeping soul. Lord of encouragement, awaken the kingdom among my friends. Lord of righteousness, awaken the teaching of the kingdom in our city. Lord of the harvest, awaken workers for your harvest. Creator of life, awaken spiritual hunger and thirst in our city. All-sufficient Father, pour out your Spirit upon our saints, your saints in our city, and awaken sleeping souls. That's my prayer today.
Uh-huh.
Kind of covered it all, didn't I?
You did. I guess I can just throw my stuff away.
Forstream.com is a collection of resources to help you and those you know experience the freedom of a kingdom life. If you would like to listen to today's program in its entirety, go to Forstream.com and click on the radio button.